John Linnell and John Flansburgh have been making music together since they met in high school here in Lincoln, Massachusetts. But in 1982, they became They Might Be Giants. And in more than 30 years, they've done everything from Dial-A-Song, a phone line allowing fans to call up and hear songs like this grainy alt version of Birdhouse in Your Soul on an answering machine. To themes for hit shows like Malcolm in the Middle. To music for kids, entire albums about numbers and signs.
Standing by the window over there, there is a shape with four sides, so it's a square. And the one who has nine is looking fine, and its name is Nonagon.
And now, They Might Be Giants has just released their 16th CD, Nanobots.
Grow the nanobots.
Grow the nanobots.
Grow them in the cracks.
Grow
in the
them in the cracks. In the sidewalk.
Grow
the nanobots.
Line them up and out.
And John Linnell and John Flansburgh join us in the studio. Welcome back.
Hey,
thank
it's great
you
to
for
be back.
Us back.
Oh, boy. Okay, two Johns. How are we going to distinguish you?
I'm wearing the glasses.
Wait, he's wearing glasses too.
Those are reading glasses.
So we have John
and
John. So
just look a little bit more closely into your radio and you'll see us. We'll be waving to you.
Well, that's John Flansburgh.
Yes.
And John Linnell to his right.
John Linnell over here.
The New Yorker writes that at heart, what this new CD confirms is that your project is to illuminate the sadness of existence and then cover it quickly with imagination.
Wow. It's like artistic kitty litter.
I don't remember. The New Yorker said that?
Yes.
It's a really thoughtful piece. I don't remember that quote. There's definitely some stuff in there that is pretty poignant. The strange thing about being around for too long is that people will often, instead of comparing you favorably or unfavorably to other bands, they'll just start comparing everything you've done to itself.
To yourself, right.
So, like, you learn that the highest praise you can get is that at one time you really weren't very good. And we're performers, we're insecure people, and that is a kind of an emotional cocktail that's very hard to toss back.
Well,
right?
they do think, though, that this is a terrific new CD.
It's great. Yeah,
Evidently. Better than our previous CDs.
There you go, better than the previous one. I did like what they said, but I don't know that I understood it.
Exactly.
That
was my response.
How would you put it?
It suggests that we're covering up an unpleasant thing with something that eliminates the smell, like what you
there you go.
For your cat.
I think they're just
mixed together. The sadness and the beauty are just swirling together.
It's also, in many cases, short. Nanobots has 25 songs, mm-hmm. a third of which are very, very short. Let's listen, for instance, to the entirety of Nouns.
Everywhere around this bird, they're running out of verbs, adverbs and adjectives. Everywhere around this town, they're running out of nouns. They're running out of nouns.
14,000, 15,000, 15 seconds.
Yep. It's a short one. But, you know, it says it all because we are running out of nouns, and that's really the gist of the song.
Why else do that? You did the same thing on 1992's Apollo 18. Are these nano songs?
Well, there's something very exciting about putting together an album and listening to an album sequence where there is an unpredictable aspect. And relatively early on in the Nanobots album, a song comes on that's a full-blown song. It sounds just like a regular rockin' song. And then it ends after about 55 seconds. And that's kind of like a sneak peek into what happens later on as you go. I guess it's essentially just trying to get away from the stock thing of writing, you know, here's a 3-minute-long quality mm-hmm. song. Here, you know, this one's a ballad, this one's a rocker, this one's a mid-tempo. You know, there's something a little cookie cutter. You know, as much as people in rock music like to congratulate themselves on what original bold thinking is going on, there is kind of an orthodox thing about rock music, the song forms.
Formula.
Yeah. And
which we obviously like. We write songs with verses, choruses, bridges. You know, there's something deeply traditional about the kind of songs we gravitate towards. So writing the 15-second song is an easy way to do something that breaks that mold, but not in the way that normally happens, which is that you eliminate the chorus, the verse, and the bridge, and you do something completely different. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's a chorus in there, but that's all you get.
There, near the borderline, right between two countries. There, near the borderline, right between two countries.
It's a perfect form, I would think, for the Twitter age.
I mean, I sort of want to stress this thing, which is to me, like, the short song is this underappreciated old idea, which is like the little tiny snippet of a song you get in an ad where you all you get is the 10 seconds. And it just seemed like, well, that's a perfectly legitimate length for a piece of music because it sticks in your head and that's all you get. And so I think we felt like this is a form that is underexplored, you know, and it's not because people have short attention spans. I mean,
It's because we have short attention spans. our management is always happy when we don't mention that we're impossibly old for guys in a rock band. But our cultural roots are, you know, just being planted in front of a black and white television for 6 hours a day from the years 1964 to 1972. You know, television commercials then were cut very much in almost MTV-like way. There's this kind of disassociated way of editing that television commercials had. And, of course, there are all these television shows with incredible jingles. They have unlimited potential because they don't bother to fill in every other part of it.
I've got one in my head now. Tell me one of yours from those hours.
By Menon.
Perhaps the shortest jingle of all time.
I always wonder what the next part's going to be.
They demonstrate this thing which about songwriting, which is you feel like, well, it has to be a certain length or it's not legitimate. Yeah. And it's a kind of a great liberation to realize, like, no, you can just end when you're done and not add a lot of fat.
There you go. James K. Polk from the Album Factory Showroom is responsible for most Americans' working knowledge of the 1844 Democratic primary. And you've got another one of these storytelling biographical songs on this new album, Nanobots. Yep. This is Tesla, about Nikola Tesla's achievements. Let's just listen to a little.
Tesla, usher the radio wave into the world, usher the neon light into the world.
John Flansburg, who wrote the song, why Tesla?
We started working on the song about 5 years ago. There was actually a fully rocking band version of it that was tracked with slightly different words and a slightly different melody. But I wasn't really fully satisfied with the way it worked, and in part because I heard this amazing Studio 360 piece about Nikola Tesla's life, and then I got a book about Tesla and sort of learned more about not just the laundry list of important inventions that he was involved in, which are impressive, but also about the sort of the poetry of his life. It seemed like he kind of was possibly mentally ill in some way, and yet he was functioning at a very high level of consciousness. So it was a combination of, you know, having a giant brain and having a crazy brain, and I feel like that's a very interesting topic.
In a world of sane, small-brained people,
right.
He stood out.
Right. Speaking as a mostly sane, small-brained person, it seemed like a very impressive and unusual story.
And attention must be paid.
Yeah.
John Linnell and John Flansburg, founding force behind They Might Be Giants, their new CD, Nanobots. What a pleasure to visit with you.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Pleasure is entirely ours.
Tesla, of course, is... inventions led to what we are doing right now, radio. We start and end with inventors today. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.